Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys, it's opening day in baseball. And after a season-long drug ban, Alex Rodriguez was greeted by cheers when he walked onto the field during today's season opener at Yankee Stadium. Although, he's off the juice now, so they probably just thought it was Bruno Mars. He's considerably smaller now.
I'm excited. Baseball season.
Yep.
True story. On opening day at Wrigley Field, the lines were so long for the men's bathroom that many fans were forced to pee in cups. Yes. Yeah. Which is as close to number one as Cubs fans are ever going to get.
It's the STP cast. My name is Steve. That is my good friend Top Shelf over there. The mighty Reverend Enfuego's here.
Hello.
And everybody's favorite, the man that always has to go to the dentist, Mono Nick, is with us.
I'm a doucheaholic.
I imagine so. Yeah, you're what, like a little over an hour away from having to step out of here.
Yeah, it sucks, man. That's what I get for not having a real dentist.
You got to get on that.
Yeah.
Get yourself a real dentist. If anyone out there who listens is a real dentist, can you be Mono Nick's real dentist?
Please.
Today's theme, baseball, of course. We're going to talk about with Mono Nick about his experience at opening day. But the other theme is Volbeat, because we will be talking to Michael Polson, the lead singer of Volbeat, in just a few minutes. So I figure what better way to get things started than by playing my favorite Volbeat song, Still Counting, the jam of the week.
Counting all the ass in the room. Well, I'm definitely not alone. Well, I'm not alone. You're a liar, you're a cheater, you're a fool. Well, that's just like me, you. And I know you too.
Song so much. So good.
Here it comes.
Double bass, baby. There's so many great, like, thrash-like elements to this song, but it's not a thrash song at all. Reminds me a lot of Life of Agony at times, like the earlier stuff when Keith Caputo, who's now Mina Caputo, but when his voice was like always hitting that weird crackly high note. Like, this is like a more polished sounding version of that.
So I was thinking Clutch.
Yes.
Kind of like Clutch.
They do have a Clutch vibe to them as well. They have a lot of different vibes.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about Volbeat. Like, even that, the song that started off this intro was their other song, Warriors Call, with the Let's Get Ready to Rumble, and it sounds nothing like this song.
Right.
Like, all their songs sound a little different, but I think what brings it all together is Michael's voice.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to him about that, because I remember we met him at the Pain in the Grass at the Gorge, and he was a super cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
You never know with these hard rockers.
What a music seems to come there, and the light went through the color.
And this song's off of their Beyond Hell Above Heaven record.
Yeah, lots of different tempo stylings in this song alone.
Yeah. And it flows. Flows just fine. It's so weird, man. That's it's what I like about it.
Like, some of the music reminds me of, like, Coheed and Cambria, like, the epicness. Like,
yeah, I was thinking even, like, Avenged. When they had those epic, like, tempo. My brain shifts, I was about to say. Don't. All right, Toppy, I guess you got to bleep it because I didn't finish the word. Sorry. Brain's not fully there yet, boys.
Better safe than sorry.
Kind of burned a few brain cells over the weekend, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, as
well. I hope
so. D-Ted Smith will be popping in about, I don't know, about like 20 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so, he got a ration of crap for not coming in yesterday.
I know. How funny is it that he took yesterday off and I didn't? And
he had to get up like 16 hours earlier.
Right. I get up at 3 in the morning, and he gets up at like 9 in the morning.
All right, you're just hardcore.
I just wanted it more, man.
That's right.
I wanted that microphone more.
And he didn't even have to play.
No! He played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Michael Polson from Volbeat, I believe we're going to be talking to him any second now. They are at the WAMU Theater on April 29th with Anthrax and Crobot. That's going to be a great show. And hopefully you got... Oh, looks like the phone is ringing, so let's check and see what's going on. Hi, KSW.
Hey, is this Steve?
Yes.
Hey, it's Justin from Q Prime.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Doing great.
So I have Michael from Volbeat on the other line.
Hi, man.
Michael, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Here we go.
Awesome. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. You know, just getting ready for summer. That's pretty much all I care about right now, get some good weather going. You've dealt with enough rain here in the Northwest.
Yeah, I get it. You know, we're about to see the summer here in Denmark as well. You know, I can't wait. You know, it always inspires me a little bit more in the right direction when the sun is up.
I was going to ask you something like that because, I mean, I think like a lot of people always joke, and I think there's some legitimate philosophy behind it with a lot of the bands from the Northwest. That gloomy sound is probably spawned from being indoors and dealing with overcast weather so much. I would imagine that does affect your songwriting, the way the weather is.
I really like to write in the summer. You know, that's just something. Yeah, I can imagine if you're playing black metal, you would need snow and no sun and everything, but we're not a black metal band. But you know, it's just nice when you have the window and doors open, you can hear the birds cheeping and the cow go moo and the goat go baa.
You know? Is that the name of the new album right there?
Yeah, you know, that's the new chorus of a new song. You know, I kind of think, you know, it's just makes me feel alive, you know, when the summer is up, you know, I like that. So
I know we're joking, but like when we've seen you live, I mean, the crowd is in the palm of your hands. If you had a song where you said, and the cow goes, I bet the entire crowd would go moo.
No, I know, I'm not quite there yet. You know, let's see what happens.
Well, you're going to be here at WAMU Theater on April 29th, and that's tickets are available through Ticketmaster, and it's you guys. Anthrax is a part of the bill as well. And
nice.
I'm pumped, man. Both bands, I mean, that's a killer lineup right there in itself. And is it cool going on tour with Anthrax? Because I know like you got their former guitarist, Rob, is now the guitarist in your band, or has been the guitarist for a little bit. That's kind of cool that you guys are out there on the road together. I would imagine he's getting a kick out of that.
Yeah, no, it's really great. You know, we've been talking with the Anthrax guys for a very long time about doing this. You know, it's just our schedules has been so booked, and, you know, it's just not been possible until now. You know, there's never been any weird hard feelings with Rob stepping into Volpe or anything. We're still very good close friends with the Anthrax guys, and so being able to do something like that is amazing. It is a legendary band, and I've been inspired by Anthrax since I was a teenager, so it's definitely a cool gig, you know, being able to go on the road in America with a great band, and we have a great opening band in Crobot, you know, and it's going to be great, and I know Rob is looking forward to see his old brothers again, so it's going to be great.
When you know you're about to launch into an American tour, and, you know, besides Seattle, of course, what is the, immediately you go, oh, I can't wait to get to this city, like New York or Chicago, whatever it is, what's really good to Volbeat as far as a city?
You know what, it's we're just very thankful that we can be on the road in America, you know, visiting so many different cities. You know, it's a blessing, man. You know, it's so tough to, you know, being a European band and step into a huge country like America and actually have something going. You know, we pretty much discovered that your country is pretty huge compared to Denmark. it takes some time to get all the way around, but, you know, to get back to your question, the thing is, you know, all the places we've been, you know, the crowd has been amazing, you know, nice people, very dedicated, you know, they got the Volbeat fever, you know, I cannot ask for more.
Yeah, it's such an amazing thing to watch as a fan to see how the crowd reacts to your show, seeing you guys play, you know, from smaller venues to now playing. I mean, I remember seeing you guys, it was at the Gorge when we saw you guys, which was just unbelievable. And what I love about your band, and it's not really a question, more just a compliment to you guys, I love that you've created, like, you know, there's obviously, you could hear certain inspiration in some of your songs, but you've created your own sound because it's like this mix of so many different influences. I mean, when you're listening to certain songs, I mean, anything from like Dead But Rising to Still Counting to even like a song called We, I mean, I feel like there's so many different influences, but maybe it's because of your voice that ties it all together. But man, as a fan, you're always on your toes as a fan. You don't know what you're going to get when you listen to a Volbeat record, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much for the compliment. You know, we float around with a lot of different styles, you know, and when I sit and write, you know, it's not like I'm locked into one certain style. You know, I love metal, you know, I love blues, I love gospel, country, punk, whatever it is, you know, as long as it does something to me, I get that good feeling. And that's the exact same feeling and I need to get when I write my own material. So I don't want to paint myself into a corner where I said this has to be only a metal song. You know, that's not what Volbeat is all about. I have so much respect for all those great metal bands out there who just found their style, you know, and you really don't want them to change anything because that's what they do. They do their metal stuff. But when it comes to Volbeat, we're just, you know, I would not even say that we are metal or rock and roll or anything. I guess we're just something. But, you know, we blend a lot of metal, rock and roll, little bit of blues and country and punk and whatever it is. And we were not aware of that we had something unique going because I think if we were, we wouldn't have that kind of success that we have because our songs they're very honest. So, you know, we're not trying to create something very special. We would pretty much just became aware of it when people would keep on saying to us, you got something going, you know, you got something special there. And we were like, we do, you know, and I think that's the magic behind it. You know, we were just playing and so maybe we were there at the right time. But one thing I can say for sure is that we have been sacrificing a lot to be able to tour as much. You know, we quit our day jobs, education, you know, our girlfriends, and that's been so many sacrifices to being able to do what we do. You know, we started like everybody else going out in a cold 9-seater, you know, and just actually paying to play, you know. That's just how it works. You know, we're pretty much aware of that we earned our stripes, but, you know, we take good care of our stripes. You know, we don't take anything for granted.
You mentioned sacrifices. I know you mentioned like girlfriends and day jobs. Of all the things you've had to give up because you're on the road so much, what's the one thing you just kind of like, oh, I just wish we could get that back? I hate the fact that I have to sacrifice this.
Our food.
Food. Oh, I love it.
Being away from the Danish food is pretty tough, you know. I think what hurts the most being on the road is being away from your family. We basically do the same thing every day. So sometimes you're not even aware of what city you're in. Excuse me, but I'm just very honest. You know,
no,
it can
absolutely
take hours for me to actually, it can take hours. I can sit backstage and say, where the f*** are we anyway?
You have to have a little note on this on the bottom of the stage that just says, say Cleveland.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not like we don't think about where we are. It's just that the days are so similar to each other, you know. So it happens where, you know, an hour before stage time, everybody looks at each other like, where the f*** I was, totally spinal tap moment.
You don't want to be the guy that's like, hello, Milwaukee, and like, we're in Tacoma, Washington right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned how you're excited about Anthrax and you love Anthrax. I myself, and I know Toppy on our show, grew up as well, huge Anthrax fans. And as a guy who has some great pipes, if the moment happened, you're like, dude, we need you to sing on a certain song, which song from Anthrax would you pick?
You know, I really like that song from the latest album from Worship Music. That's this song called, I think it's called In the End.
Oh, wow. So you go new school Anthrax. I like it. That Worship Music album, I thought was just, they knocked it out of the park with that one.
It is a great album. Now, of course, I'm a huge fan of their old stuff. I gotta admit, I'm more into the Joey Belladonna time. So I'm so glad and thankful that he's back in the band. You know, John Bush was doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
But you know, growing up listening to the stuff they did with Joey just had an impact on me. So him back in the band is great, and I think that comeback album they did with Joey is amazing. And when I heard that song In the End, you know, I texted Charlie and said, that's a amazing song. I wish I wrote I wrote that song. And he said that's a song I had for such a long time, and I didn't know how to ride it to the end.
That's awesome, man. Now, I've heard stories that you guys are working on some new stuff while on the road. I would imagine it's nice having a guy like Rob, who's a guitarist in your band, but also a producer, to be there during the songwriting process. I mean, that's got to be a win-win.
Yeah, you know, me too. You know, we are in the writing process right now, and I'm writing every day, using a lot of hours to get into the right material, and it's pretty much like the old days that I'm writing most of the material, but then I have certain spots open for Rob where, you know, where he can put in some of his ideas and
nice.
Stuff, you know, and it's working out pretty good.
Awesome. Michael, looking forward to seeing you at the Wamu Theater on April 29th with Anthrax and also a Crobot. Get tickets at Ticketmaster, and we really appreciate you taking some time to call in.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for the interview.
All right, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Bye. Man, could he not be a cooler guy?
That was sweet.
Yeah.
I love his accent.
Oh, dude. He can tell me to clean my room in that accent, and I would clean it right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He just has like that. I don't know. There's something about that. Like, it sounds authoritative in his voice. But he was nice the whole time, so it was like this weird, like, kind of like sweet and sour. His voice sounded very authoritative, but he was very nice.
Especially when he swore.
Yeah, he dropped 3 F-bombs. How metal is that, man?
That was so gangster.
Cool.
And it was like so unexpected. He's like this very polite answers. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, effing. Man, so he mentioned that Anthrax song. I think we should check it out. Let's listen to it's In the End, I believe. So let's check out the new Anthrax, the most recent Anthrax. Oh, son of a bitch. Well, let's just check out the new Anthrax song. It's new to us. Deal with it. Who's there? This would be an awesome doorbell.
It's still going.
Yeah.
It's very gothic.
There we go.
It's like, where's the vampires?
This is the Anthrax I like to hear. It's called In the End off of their Worship Music record. Some call it the return to true Anthrax. Joey Belladonna back with the boys once again. It'll probably take like 4 minutes for him to start singing, because if it's like true Anthrax, they've got the epic beginnings, just like Metallica used to.
So this made it onto the radio then, right?
No, not at all. Unfortunately. Anthrax is one of those bands I always felt like was so close. They were on the precipice, but I think then when they changed singers, that's kind of what like kind of made them take a few steps back. Even though I like John Bush. I know Michael said that he didn't say he wasn't a fan, but he was more of a fan of Joey. But I like them both.
Take it, I can't break.
see Michael from Volbeat singing on this song.
Absolutely, yeah.
It would sound pretty awesome. Want to hear a crazy story? I don't know if you'll think it's crazy, but as an Anthrax fan, I thought it was a crazy story. I was listening or reading. I don't remember how I was paying attention to this interview, but Corey Taylor from Slipknot was being interviewed. And apparently before they were able to get Joey Belladonna back in the band as a singer, there were talks of him joining Anthrax for this record. So, like, this would have been... Obviously, the vocals would have been different because it would have been Corey Taylor's words. And so, I mean, the melodies might have been different, but he might have been singing over these riffs.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But apparently their record label, Slipknot's label, I think, shot it down. They're like, yeah, you're not jumping ship to go to another label. Record an album with a different band that's not on our label.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a business. I get it.
Yeah.
They should just change his name to, like, Tori Taylor or something. I would have loved to have heard Corey Taylor with Anthrax. That would have been badass.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that would have turned out. Like, this is the most Anthrax I've ever listened to, so...
Well, we did rap to you the I'm the Man song.
Oh, that's right.
And you kind of hear it on those email intros with Ziggy and Ike the Bear.
You're right.
You're an Anthrax fan. Just admit it.
Hardcore, dude. Every t-shirt.
Toppy, how you feeling about this one?
I don't think I've ever heard this before. It's all right.
Yeah.
I was a Joey guy. Kind of left the band after that.
I think it's kind of like when Corabi joined Motley Crue.
Yeah.
It's like the album wasn't all that horrible, but it wasn't Vince Neil, so you're just like, eh.
Yeah.
Losing singers is, I think that's the most impossible thing, unless they pass away, of course. It's like...
Yeah, then you feel, I mean, you kind of feel bad for the band, because then at that point, the guys are kind of left out in the cold.
Right. Like AC/DC, Alice in Chains. I mean, how do you
Drowning
fault
Pool.
Them? Drowning Pool. Yeah. Drowning Pool's been, they're like the Spinal Tap of singers.
Yeah, that's just brutal.
Yeah. But then, like, a band like... I like this stuff that Chester's done with Stone Temple Pilots. I like it a lot. Yeah. But I think there are a lot of people similar to Toppy with Anthrax that as soon as they put out stuff without Scott Weiland, they're like, eh, it's not Stone Temple Pilots.
That. Yeah, I was in that camp, definitely.
You're a hater.
I am. Sorry.
Curse right there. I mean, I switched them. I flipped it, Toppy. You don't have to bleep it. I was looking out for you, man. Even though I cursed earlier, I'm still looking out for you.
Is that the old backwards trick?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Where the F word becomes cuff.
Yeah.
You cuffing idiot.
It's the ish.
Ish.
Ish. All right, now we're just making fart sounds. All right.
That's my backwards swear.
Before the Ted Smith gets in here, I do dig that song, and I would love to hear Michael from Volbeat sing on that one.
That'd be
one.
Cool, man.
I did want to talk a little bit about Mariners opening day, because Mono Nick, you were there. It was yesterday was the big day, and I did not realize until right before we started this podcast when you were talking about the LED lights, because the Mariners are the first ballpark in all the country to experiment with a new type of lighting. Then you said something to the point that made me realize you weren't just watching it on TV, because I didn't really notice much of a difference watching the game on television, but then again, it was a day game.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight for the night game, I'll notice it more, but what was it like being there?
It was cool. Like, the LED lights, like, they had them on during the day, which I was like, wow, that's kind of weird, but there was some cloud coverage, but in between innings, they start playing, like, weird techno music and stuff like that. Like, Mariners, they've always been kind of on the edge for like that kind of EDM stuff,
right?
And the Mariners, obviously, their bullpen dance a lot, and they put that into their video presentation this year. So they have the Mariners bullpen participants, like members, up on the big screen dancing in between innings, trying to get the fans riled up. And while the LED lights are flashing and all these
Jeez, man, it's a rave.
Yeah, totally. And that's how they had for the opening ceremony. It was like a disco down on the field when the Mariners came running out on the red carpet. I don't know if anybody saw that on the televised broadcast, but
I didn't.
Yeah, like they ran out of like this disco door. It was
really?
Crazy. Yeah.
Weird.
I know. They're all in it, and man, it was awesome. What a great game.
Somebody that works in the Mariners like front office is like a fan of raves then.
Yeah. Well,
can they change the lights? Can they like make a bunch of different, like, you know what I mean? Like
light configuration, like colors and stuff like that? I'm sure they could. They only had the white lights out there now, but I'm guessing they could do anything they want with those things.
Might as well get creative, like in between innings, just like flip it to like a blue hue or a yellow hue when it's King's Court. That would be awesome.
Yeah, do put some K's up there or something
Hell
like that.
Yeah.
It was cool. I'm excited for the season.
Well, hey, as of this moment when we're taping this, they're 1-0.
Right.
I mean,
we're 161 games away from a perfect season. Or like everyone was walking, like they're all walking out. Well, we only need 116 more games to break the single season win record. I'm like, Jesus, people.
Let's not get crazy. Let's just be happy if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, one baby steps, people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great lineup, but you know how it is. I mean, you're a baseball fan. And from being a kid, I remember seeing teams that look great on paper and that just epically fell apart during the games.
Yep, every pitcher is one pitch away from a season-ending injury.
That too, yeah. Felix looked good on the mound.
Oh, man, it was lights out. Like, we got a little nervous there when he gave up the home run
to Trout.
But he came back, he struck out the side in the first, and then I think he had six Ks by the end of the third. And I'm like, well, Felix, it's done now. We got this one in the book.
What'd you eat while there, man?
I had lightly salted peanuts and beer.
That's it?
Lightly salted?
Dude, the lines were insanely long.
Is there a heavily salted peanut that's
available?
Well,
there's salted and then there's lightly salted.
And they need heavily salted peanut for the guy who just wants that high blood pressure.
I just want the sodium,
but they
please.
Were the ones that were made in the small batches and stuff, like roasted in small batches. There's CB's nuts.
Oh, CD's nuts, you said?
CB's.
Oh, okay. That would be awesome. It's CD's nuts.
My little brother.
Who wants the CD's nuts?
My little brother said the exact same thing. I'm like, here, you want some of my peanuts? And he took a couple and he goes, he spits them out. And I'm like, what? He goes, there's no salt on them. Like, no, they're lightly salted.
Your nuts aren't salty enough for me.
Yucky.
Yeah. Ew. Yeah, the lines were just way too long.
Well, you got 45. I don't think we're used to having 45,000 people in a ballpark these days. So,
yeah.
You know, we've gone to a lot of Mariner games where it's like, oh, there's no line in the bathroom. Oh, you know, there was that joke earlier from Conan O'Brien that said that at Wrigley Field, the lines were just so bad that people were peeing in cups.
Yeah, I saw those pictures of that and. It looked disgusting. Like it looked like
imagine.
Full glasses of beer, but it wasn't beer.
Oh man!
Just sitting out there waiting for anybody. Could you just imagine? Just a drunk guy walking by, like, oh, cool, there's some beer. Oh,
and they didn't like even throw them in trash cans or anything.
Not in the photos. Like they. Just...
Come on, man.
It turned into an ugly scene for Wrigley there. They had to apologize.
It's families there, too, right?
Yeah.
So, like, people just whipping out their dongs, taking
in line,
taking a
I
leak.
Guess. Yeah.
Jeez, man. And
beautiful.
And how about the men's lines were too long, not the women's?
Man, I've been to, like, magic events, and you just, like, a dude will just sneak into the woman's restroom real quick.
Because there's no women at those events.
Yeah. Well, there's no women at this baseball game. Come on.
Of course there's women at Wrigley Field. That's a social event. Opening day. You know
you're right, yeah.
And chicks, like, they like to get dressed up and go to baseball games.
I know.
There's nothing more fun than chick watching at the Mariners games. There's so many hot chicks that go to Mariners games.
It's kind of annoying, too, because one of the best spots to sit at Safeco is the Mariners bullpen landing.
Oh, at the pen, yeah.
And that's where they have corporate events, or if they don't, if there's no corporate events, then that's where all the frat guys and the sorority girls go to hang out.
The bros and the bitches.
Yeah, and they're just drinking and partying. They're not even watching the game.
Well, that's why I think people go to that area. They buy the cheapest ticket they can get, and they just party.
See, not me. I buy an expensive ticket, and I go and stand on the line, like right on the rail, and I want to watch right there because it's a good spot, and then I'm just getting pushed in the back.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But that's okay. I'll just
go
take my seat.
Are you doing it so you can watch the people warm up in the pen, or are you just doing it because you like to be
I like to be right there, yeah.
Right in the heart of it.
Reminds me of growing up when we'd sit in the outfield bleachers at the Kingdom.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Yeah. And they'd have the plexiglass up.
If I want to have memories of what it was like to go to I used to go to a lot of Yankee games at the old Yankee Stadium, and I'll never forget just the feeling of you could not. It's almost like they never cleaned the floors.
Yeah,
and it felt like before every game they just took honey and poured it on the floor. Because there are times where like my foot would be
stuck.
Yeah, and I'm like pulling it, and like you know when you're a kid you don't really tie your shoes all that well anyway. So I pull and my shoe would stay and my foot would pop up. I'm like, geez, it's disgusting.
And then you just step down into your sock and then your sock is sticky and then it's just over.
It's so different how it is now. It's like, you know, super corporate.
Yeah.
It's super expensive.
Yeah.
But going to a Yankee game in the 80s when I was growing up, I mean, they were giving away tickets.
Well, the Yankees were terrible.
Stunk. They were awful.
So bad.
They were.
The only decade that they didn't win a championship.
Yeah.
The whole decade?
Nope.
And I felt bad because that was Donnie Baseball's, his prime time. And, me and BJ, we were even talking about that yesterday. We're like, Steve grew up in New York watching Donnie Baseball, and Donnie Baseball never got to go to the playoffs. So
right. As a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah, the last time that I think the closest they got was winning in 80, but the Dodgers beat them.
Yeah.
And then after that, yeah, they just stunk. And that was my favorite decade for the Yankees. It's so funny because everybody loves the Yankees. You know, well, not everybody, but a lot of people like the Yankees in New York. And you hear their stories of their favorite era of Yankee players, whether it be the 70s because of Reggie Jackson, or the 90s mm-hmm. because, you got the Jeters coming
into
the world.
The Bernie Williams.
I mean,
Jack McDowell.
Andy Pettit. Yeah, Roger Clemens. Yeah. All that crazy stuff. And I'm always like, I love the 80s. And everyone's like, the 80s?
Yeah, man. Paul O'Neill.
Yeah, with Ron Guidry and Dave Ragone. Getty,
sure.
These no-name guys to most baseball fans, but they were like my heroes,
Yeah,
it's just nuts. But mainly, I'm glad I could say I grew up watching Donnie Baseball play baseball. He was an amazing player.
Yeah,
Lee Mazzilli, Greg Nettles,
man. He was a coach.
Willie
for me
Randolph.
Once.
Greg Nettles was a coach for you?
Yeah, it was either him or his brother. It was one of the Nettles. I know. Like they had a baseball facility down in Puyallup.
Oh.
And when I was in AAU baseball and what's the other stuff, Sandy Koufax stuff, we would go down there and they would videotape us batting and pitching and teach us fundamentals.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think Nettles was the third baseman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hot corner.
Yeah, exactly. So he was our hitting coach. He was the guy that was videotaping us. And
my brother had his baseball glove. Not
nice.
Like his actual one, but one that had the fake autograph on it.
Neat.
Yeah.
The coolest thing is he actually brought game tape from old games of Jose Canseco and stuff, and we would get to watch that.
So it was almost like being in a pro level coaching situation.
Yeah, it was so
cool. Examine tape.
Yep.
Nice. Rev, for the weekend, I know you went. I mean, Ted's about 10 minutes away, so we'll have Ted Smith join us in just a few minutes to talk about the Tacoma Donkeys trip to Spokane, which took it to a whole new level. I know I say it every year, and somehow every year we take it to a new level. I can't wait to share some of these stories. And
yeah,
these stories
how many can't you tell?
Most. But there's enough to share.
My favorite.
There's enough to share. There's going to probably be stories bleeding into this podcast, into the podcast, which, of course, you can pick up on KSW's website or on iTunes and Stitcher. It's going to bleed onto the Megacast as well, I'm sure. It's just, if you're a fan of all of our podcasts, just expect a lot of stories about the classic. But before we get to that, I want to ask you about NorwestCon, your big Easter weekend drunk fest.
Yeah, this was our nerd spring break, I guess is what we call it. And it's me and my best friend, the PLP Brogan, him and I have been going to this now either 19 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, we're not ready to say 20. So we're just going to say that it is 19 years this
19
time.
19 plus one.
Yeah. And
19
next,
plus two.
And, well, next
you're
year
like
will
a,
be
you're
the
like
20th.
A 39-year-old woman.
You're old. Get over it.
So I think next year we're going to turn it into the 20th, and we're going to have a bunch of fun with that. I think we're actually going to have a room party for our own.
You got to get a suite, man. 20-year anniversary.
You can't, though, because the suites are taken by the big parties.
What do you mean a room party? What does that mean? Like,
that's
can you
a
just
party.
Have a party?
I imagine it's a party in a room.
Yes, it's a party in a room.
But I mean, you have to plan this out. Can't you just say, let's party?
No, because
that's kinda how we did it.
Hotels have a lot of rules and stuff, and especially if you're going to incorporate a lot of people. Like, I think we'll do a closed room where we just invite people and just don't let anybody come in.
Oh.
Because that's what a lot of these parties
except
do.
Except for bitches. You always got to let the bitches
in. Bitches always get in.
Yeah.
But
that was on our bus.
But yeah, these things are big affairs because you got to coordinate with the hotel because I think Michelle this year said that this party is kind of like a stress test for the hotel because everything goes wrong. Like there were big old water leaks and sometimes just the elevators just don't work. So we always just this place has been around since the 60s.
Why don't you get a different hotel?
Because it's
part of the tradition.
Yeah, it's absolutely tradition. It's been doing it here, I think, for 38 years. Like this is the 38th year for this convention, and I think every year has been at this hotel.
Is this the only thing that keeps the hotel going?
could be.
That really hookers. Could.
It might, man.
That's hookers and strung out heroin addicts.
But it is so much.
Did you name the hotel?
I have not yet. Okay, no, I don't believe so.
Is it the hotel I'm thinking of where I like had to pick some stuff up from?
Probably yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. yeah. Yes. And but it's like we were looking at it, and this is the one time of year where we get to mix up with a lot of people who I used to game with and used to hang out with. So it is that one thing that brings everyone back. People make sure that they set this set time aside to do this. And it's not really for the convention. I mean, I go for the convention to, you know, see people that I've seen, but
it's the parties.
Yeah.
Did you see George R.R. Martin there?
No.
Why not? Say, did you see Jar Jar Binks? I'm like, damn,
I might have.
Has the mighty fallen?
So, no. The guest of honor this year was George R.R. Martin, the guy who wrote Game of Thrones, like the Song of Ice and Fire and all that stuff. He was there for this.
You didn't even go to it.
I didn't even see him.
You didn't invite him to your private party?
Oh, there were
like
many,
the biggest guy in geekdom right now, like Nerdville. Like,
many invitations. But he was busy. He was doing panels.
What's
he was
doing
autograph signings. I don't know. He wasn't partying.
Not bitches.
There were contingency plans if he did show up to a room party, which was pretty awesome because every party that he could have gone to, it was one of those things where if he shows up, no one else gets to go in. Exit privileges only. So there was a couple of times where you were just hanging around saying, oh, maybe he'll show up and all right, cool. We'll
so everyone's like
on.
Holding their pee because you don't want
to
risk
it. There was a couple, and there was like one party that was pretty sure that they were going to get him to come and show up, but I don't think he did. And I was too drunk at that point. I was just wandering around, so I didn't care.
What is your favorite memory from the weekend? If you could pinpoint one.
Gosh. There was a lot of things. I mean, just playing Magic was kind of fun, but that's kind of boring for you guys.
That would be one of my favorite memories.
I guess it would be every year it's the same thing, doing the KY wrestling. I referee it.
Yep.
And
are these girls hot?
Yes. Here's the thing with that.
How much do you pay for these girls?
I don't even think it's paying for them because a lot of them do it. Some of them are hooking. They're burlesque dancers, you
Oh,
God.
I get it, man.
God.
Gosh, you got
hating
offended.
On the ladies.
Just relax. I'm goofing around.
They do it for free. They do it just to have the experience of a bunch of gamers.
Well, I don't know. If they're not getting paid, they're obviously not hooking.
Burlesque dancers are usually fat, though.
All of them, man.
That's the ones
some
I see.
Of them. Some of them, they're all shapes and sizes, but.
Just saying.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
there
entering the house. The man, the myth, the legend.
Here, Ted, use this one.
AKA Coach. The Ted Smith, everybody, star of the podcast.
Woo!
How are you, sir?
You know, Steve, I'm not there yet, man.
I've already cursed on our podcast because my brain's not working properly. And I forgot my notes, so I'm going to go run and grab my notes of things I wanted to talk about when you came in.
All right, that works.
All right, so you guys talk amongst yourself.
All right.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Not too much, man.
It's kind of ironic.
I heard you're kind of a pansy yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Didn't show up for work.
Oh, Steve worked. And
Steve
didn't work.
Came in at 3 in the morning.
He crap about it.
Oh yeah, Steve made me look great.
Yeah, it's the talk of the hallway yesterday. Everyone's like, "Why are you here?" And Ted's not. I'm like, "Cause Ted's,"
really?
And I go, "Because Ted's smarter than me."
Oh, man.
Ted works on the show that takes the Monday after the Super Bowl off every year too, which is also the smartest thing.
Great point.
Made.
Yeah, amazing point.
I'm like, this is not a knock on Ted. This is a knock on your friend Steve here, who's stupid enough to come into work yesterday.
I saw our GM today, and he goes, "Ah, glad to see you're back." Like. I took 2 vacation days.
Right, I know. Best part is, at one point...
Like, you had to come into work, didn't you, Steve? I tried to get him to take it off.
They
I got you all a day off. I could have got BJ on board.
We all got out a
that
day off.
Amazing.
Next year, we'll work on it.
Well, no, like, Rev didn't have anything going on. He's at Northwest Con all weekend.
Northwest Con.
Northwest Con.
Or Northwest Con.
Oh, whatever.
He's at a con!
Yeah. Judging a KY Jelly wrestling competition.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
Burlesque dancers, not hookers.
And
God, Jesus Christ.
I'm just making sure that everyone knows.
Is there a fine line between burlesque dancers?
I don't know. Ask these guys.
Well, Rev's getting a little on his...
Are burlesque dancers in your mind usually fat? In general. Just in general.
They're of the bigger...
I agree with Toppy.
Their burlesque girls are generally bigger. Some of them, though, are very attractive.
It's like a girl who says, I'm curvy. Then you immediately think, okay. I mean... We know what you're really trying to say, and it's okay. I mean, but the Heavenly Spies were one of the rare exceptions to the rule of when they, I remember when they said they were a burlesque group and they wanted to come in, and I'm like, oh. And then I went on their website. I'm like, you're booked. These girls are hot.
Because there's some I see up at Meltdown every year.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's some that show up and they're like, they look like burlesque girls. And there's other ones that show up that look like super hot. It's like, you guys are burlesque too?
Yep.
If that makes sense.
No, I hear you, man. I think there's a certain perception that we have.
With that said, a little bit heavier or not, any girls in the corset and kind of the same outfits, you end up wanting to bang.
Yeah, I agree.
There are a lot of corsets.
If you put fishnet stockings on a chick, I'm all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes. Let's talk about the classic, though. Ted, I don't want to keep you too long because I know you actually have a job to do since, you know, you've been...
away for a month.
Away for so long. There was a point yesterday where they thought that you were still in Spokane.
What?
The people here at work. I'm like, I didn't leave him. What do you think? We all got on a bus and said, see you later, Ted?
I was not in Seattle.
That's right. You ended up in Tacoma.
I did.
And you never made it back home?
Nope. Not till yesterday.
Congratulations.
I heard that. That's why yesterday I texted Steve during the morning show and I was en route back to Seattle.
Oh, I thought you were just an early riser. I'm like, good for Ted getting up early, getting his day going.
No, I was just like, all right, I gotta sit on my couch now in my home.
Well, before we start any of the talk about the I want to first give huge thanks to Levi Lyon and Lion Pride Music, Grace, his girlfriend, who both of them were in studio, also Rich, the bus driver. Who couldn't be a funnier guy. That guy was awesome.
Rich was on fire.
And Dwayne, who's awesome and crazy. I love that guy. He was great. Just to give you an idea of what the classic does to people who are brought into the world of the donkeys. When we first met Dwayne, we offered him a beer.
Yep.
Dwayne said, nah, man, I'm not drinking. I'm being good. We're like, cool. Fast forward 2 hours later, and Dwayne is wasted.
Oh, Lord.
He just said, F it, and just started crushing beers with the rest of us. There was a moment during, I guess we could share this story. There's a moment on the way back, and we're gonna bounce around. I don't think there's going to be any like rhyme or reason to these stories, some of the stories that we share. But
just whatever pops in your head at
Levi
the moment.
Levi gets on the bus and says, hey, I got a text from Dwayne's wife. Dwayne, she hasn't heard from him since Friday night.
Whoa.
Now, we've been with Dwayne this whole time, and this is Sunday. And the last text, she says, I'm going out with the boys. And he never wrote her back again. That was the last time. So, of course, eventually Dwayne gets on the bus, and we're all like, Dwayne, call your wife. Come on, man.
And Steve's leaving out part of the craziness in that story is that I wake up. We're supposed to be on the bus at, what, 9?
That was the plan on Sunday morning.
Right? So I wake up in my room at 11.
Oh.
Levi's there.
Well, that's helpful, at
right.
least.
Right. Levi and his girlfriend had crashed in my room, and he's like, oh, man, we got to get up. Like, because the only reason we got up was because Dwayne's wife was texting Levi.
Which was, it was so funny because everyone, like, I talked with Levi, and he's like, oh, yeah, let's bounce at 9. I want to get back in town. And I'm like, fine. I texted all the fellas. The only two people who woke up at 9, actually, the only person who woke up at 9 was Heaney, one of our guys, who you would think he's like the hardest partier. And
Heaney got up, huh?
He was up. He banged on my door, woke me up at 9:15, and I'm like, dude, I got to shave my head. I got to shave my face. I got to look presentable when I go home to see my wife, and I still got to pack. I got to do all this stuff. I'm like, you got to give me 25 to 30 minutes, which really means 45.
Oh my God.
He's now banging on everyone else's doors. No one's waking up.
I was going to say, we have adjoining rooms. I didn't even hear you guys wake up.
I get out. I pack up. I check out before 10 o'clock. I'm like walking to the bus thinking, oh, I'm going to post up, get all situated. Bus is locked. I'm like, they're not up either. It took until about noon until we got going.
Uh-oh.
Because it was just everybody was hurting. But, all right, let's begin with Friday. We all meet up at the hockey rink. We get in the bus.
Are you going to leave out our lovely family dinner at Trappers?
We did have a great dinner at Trappers. We met a couple listeners. They walked by and just said, love the show, guys.
Nice.
And we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Get family right, dinner involves Steve and his wife. We all get sushi. But I also get a, what did I have, 2 or 3 22-ounce IPAs.
Right. Nice. In all fairness, getting that ready. Third one that you asked for the 16-ounce. They just ran out of glasses, so you begrudgingly took the 22-ounce.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah, sure.
For the 16-ounce price, I hope.
You know, we never even bothered to look.
I didn't even bother to look.
Oh, well, after three of those, it doesn't matter.
After that.
I buy everybody one.
Yeah. Sushi on me. I mean it. On me.
Oh.
No. So Friday morning, Ted and I get up. Of course, it's like Christmas morning. We are just amped. We load up the Jeep, which is like loaded all the way to the...
Oh, you were talking about Thursday night. Yeah. What you just were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, family dinner.
I didn't understand when your wife would have been around for this.
Oh, she came on the trip, guys.
No, she didn't.
Sure.
No.
We wouldn't... She would have a newfound depreciation for me, I think, if she was there for this trip, just by how wasted I was. Friday morning, we get to the rink. Everybody's already pre-funking. The party has already started. We were supposed to leave around 9. One of the guys doesn't show up till about 10.
Oops.
There's
a full-on tailgate going. The one guy, Q-Ray, like literally has his tailgate down and has like a Bloody Mary bar. Like could make with orange juice if you wanted.
Mimosa?
No, that's champagne. What's vodka and orange? Screwdriver.
Screwdriver. Yeah.
Screwdriver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then like as soon as me and Steve got there, Jay's like, here, take a sip of this. And there's just mason jars of moonshine.
Which Northwest Moonshiner swung by because we know his son. Well, I know Ken as well.
He used to coach some of the donkeys.
Yeah, he knows all the donkeys. I didn't know that. I never made the connection that he's Northwest Moonshiner. He listens to the podcast as well. And he dropped off 2 mason jars of Everclear. And
I hadn't eaten that. There you go.
So he's like, here, try some of this. I take a big swig. I didn't, because it had a nice, pretty color to it. He said it was apple pie.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, no. There you
apple
go.
Apple pie is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, let's just say the emphasis more was on the moonshine than the.
Oh.
Like, it was strong. It was good. But first drink of the morning, I almost felt wasted by that one sip. Like, I was like, whoa, this is heavy. This was awesome.
Oh, totally. I had 2 pulls of that stuff and like a beer, and it was like, yep, got a buzz again.
We finally all like load up into the bus, and then we head on. I forgot a bunch of t-shirts for like the driver, for Levi. So we had decided that we got to take the bus to my house.
Which was awesome.
Which was, we'll get to that.
I'm sure the neighborhood loved that.
Right. We're rolling in at like 10 o'clock in the morning in a giant party bus to my neighborhood, which is very quiet. But we made a pit stop first at Clear Choice Cannabis.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I've never been in any kind of pot shop. The only thing I've ever been in is like some dude's apartment where he sold me weed.
Linger. Like,
this was so cool, man. Have you ever been in a pot shop yet?
I've never.
I have. No. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, man.
They're pretty sweet.
At least the Clear Choice Cannabis one was phenomenal. It's like all this great glass pipes and apparatuses and bud tenders telling you what kind of weed.
Yeah, I was gonna say waxes, and there's just like the place with just flour.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
All types of edibles. And then we walk in and Levi's like, here, this is a gift from us to you. Here's $100 for you guys to spend. And so, of course, we give the money to Ted, and Ted was in charge, and he got us some goodies.
Yeah, they're like, either nice. Ted or Steve has to spend it. Steve goes, take care of that. I was like, no problem.
Yeah.
I got this.
Nice. So, of course, I bought two containers, each for $50.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got like a heavy... Nice sativa for like daytime, and then I got a real heavy indica for chilling out in nighttime.
There you go.
And shockingly, we never really smoked much of that.
Yeah. And the reason being,
keep going. We
finished in there, and we walk into the bus, and at this point, Grace and Levi they made Easter baskets for all of us.
Oh,
and
Lord.
We quickly shared it on the air, but I never really got into the full detail of what were in these Easter baskets, but these baskets were filled with some awesome goodies.
Yeah.
Like home-baked goodies?
No,
like
store-bought like goodies.
Yeah, like edibles, but then there was like an edible energy shot, like a 5-hour energy with weed in it.
Nice.
Yeah, I never even seen that one. And everybody had like a free eighth, so at this point, like...
Right, a free eighth of weed was in everybody's... Yeah.
So everybody has like weed.
Right.
And, like,
smoke them if you got them.
Yeah.
Right?
Who's got the wraps?
We've got more beer on the bus. Like, at this point, there's no worries
this
about
is like
this
the
trip.
Snoop Dogg van.
We
Jesus.
Have over 400 cans of beer that we counted.
What?
Sure. Wow.
And just to put it in perspective, on the way home, we had to stop and get more beer.
What, did everybody have to like bring 2 to just get on the bus? Like 2 cases just to
pretty
get on
much,
the bus?
Pretty much, yes, actually. Not only was there weed in there was a lighter and a mini bubbler bong.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Then there's a little miniature bottle of booze for everybody.
And a free pass to Foxes.
Yeah. And awesome. Then there was there was some like Advil or something in there.
I wouldn't even have made it to Spokane. Like, right, I got my whole day set right here.
Sorry, guys.
Dude, Nick, you have no idea. Because the free miniatures of booze, too, we forgot they were around.
Oh, yeah.
So every once in a while, like in the locker room, I'm throwing out beers. And I was like, oh, there's a miniature tequila. And it's like, Coach, you got to chug it. So I just ripped it open and pounded it down.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Surprise.
And throughout the entire trip, anyone's like, who wants a smoke? And everyone's like, well, just go through an Easter basket. I'm sure there's a bag of weed in there, and there was always an eighth. Nice. Something. It was like there was just weed everywhere. the entire team walks on the bus, and they're just like, we're all looking at each other like, this is not real. Like, before we even left Tacoma, we've already taken it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like, we joke about there's no way we could go to the next level, but we went to the next level. Now we drive to my house, and of course, everybody needs to use the bathroom.
Oh.
Which is, keep in mind, people are already drunk and stoned out of their minds. When we get to Steve's house, it's like, what time is it now?
11, maybe?
11?
Yeah.
Is your wife there?
She thankfully left moments before we got there.
One more question. Your neighborhood's still being like constructed and built up, right? So there's outhouses on that street, right?
I guess if you look for them.
I'd be like, you're using the outhouses.
Well, here's
this
the problem.
Is a classy bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, and mind you, almost everyone took a piss break at Clear Choice Cannabis.
Perfect. Right.
But the booze is flowing.
Right.
The seal is broken. We get to my house. I'm like, all right, let me go grab the T-shirts because we felt bad. We're like, man, we got to hook these guys up with stuff. And we've done, especially Rich, the driver, he was really excited about the idea of getting a donkey shirt. So I'm like, dude, let's just take the detour. Our game's at 7. We got plenty of time. We can. And I looked at Levi. I'm like, do we have enough time to stop in Puyallup? He's like, hell yeah, man, let's do this. So we get there. A couple guys follow me and they're like, hey, can I use your bathroom? I'm like, yeah, shoes off, please.
Yep.
I'm like, look, I need to make sure that this doesn't look like my wife. I don't want any evidence that we were in this house to where my wife would get weird. Well, a couple guys are taking a piss break. I look outside and there's 4 donkeys outside of my house peeing on the dirt.
Oh, that's classy, Ted.
Outside of, Ted was in the house.
No. I was in the bus, right? Because I wasn't going to even go into Steve's house.
Right.
I'm in the bus, and somebody goes, oh, that's a classic. Look at those 4 guys peeing, in the bushes in the front of Steve's house.
Like, if you looked out of my front window, God. I would have saw all 4 dongs.
You know the neighbors came and like,
right, this is 11 in the morning, right, man. We have a giant bus. We've attracted attention with a giant bus. Now I got 4 of my dudes pissing outside of my house.
So I go, man, Steve isn't going to like this, honestly. And like, as I say that, because I can't hear what's going on, I just see Steve pop out and like lean over. You just see his head bobbing. I don't know what he said to him. And then they all kind of put their heads down, zip up, take their shoes off and walk in.
I run out there and go, what the hell is wrong with you guys?
I'm sure he said hell, too.
Right, yeah. Different word that starts with an F.
Right.
They come in, and I'm looking, and I'm like, are you guys stupid? Like, this is my house, man. Like, come on. And they're all, like, heads are down like they're getting scolded.
Oh, yeah.
They were.
Because I never get mad at these guys. I love these guys. And I look at Munson, who was one of the culprits, and I go,
of course it was.
He was the ringleader.
I go, Munson, how old are you, man? And he looks and he goes, 28. And I just started laughing. I'm like, all right, fine. You're right. Who cares? Whatever.
You know what's funny? I yelled at Munson like that also during the trip because Munson just, he would just like drink a beer, kind of crunch it a little bit and toss it. So finally, it's like Saturday afternoon, and I watch him just throw one on the floor, and I go, where do you live? Do you have a maid? What is this lavish lifestyle where you just drink something and throw it all the way?
And the garbage pail is like 5 feet from him.
Right. It's like, hey, jackass, we're the ones getting back on this bus. Why just litter?
So that was like kind of, and like I was telling these guys, I mean, some stories are going to bleed through onto the podcast and on the megacast, so we might not get to, of course, everything. And there's a whole set of stories that will never make its way on. But Ted, I mean, what are some of your favorite experiences that you can remember?
I like the idea on the ride up there. So keep in mind, right? We've stopped now twice between Tacoma and just getting on the highway.
Haven't even hit the highway yet.
No. Once we get to the highway, somebody got pee already.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm like,
it was Heaney.
Yeah, like, we're not waiting to pee. Actually, it was Gibbsy first.
Oh, that's right.
And then Heaney's like, I'll jump in. So then it's a rule, like, hey, you got to have 7 votes and we'll pull over. So.
Oh, 7? Didn't it used to be just 4?
Yeah, well, this is a bigger bus.
So I'm bitching and moaning, like, yeah, these guys pee too much, blah, blah, blah. Hey, we stop somewhere. I run into the Burger King, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get something to eat because I'm starving. So I said, 2 cheeseburgers and a vanilla shake, right? 2 cheeseburgers. This will be simple.
Yeah.
You fast forward 20 minutes, everybody has long been
done
peeing.
We don't know, and none of us know where Ted is. So we're like, how did we lose Ted?
And I mean, it was just hellish.
It just took him forever to make damn cheeseburgers?
Well, they're used to making Whoppers.
And the thing is, you know what? In their defense, I think I walked in at 11:30 noon.
This when they do the foods, Rich?
This is like a small BK, man. They're not ready to get hammered by this crowd. Right. And the girl, you could tell the girl was new. She just took like 6 orders. and then would kind of turn around, and the burgers would be all piled up back there, and it would just be like, all right.
Oh, God.
All right.
And we're trying to figure, and finally I get a text from Ted, and he's like, I'm at BK, it's taking forever. I'm like, all right. I'm like, hey, boys, Ted's at BK, it's taking forever. Then it got in all their heads that Ted's buying us Burger King.
Oh, oh no.
Ted walks out with two burgers.
I ate a milkshake. I was like, sorry, man, I just had to eat something real quick.
We all had weird experiences on this trip with fast food. So fast forward to this had to be Saturday night. We just finished our two games. We are now at, I mean, we've been bombed all day. Like, I mean, Friday we were bombed. We lost the first game on Friday at 7 o'clock. I mean, we were in no shape to play. You know, you're at 7 hours of a trip, and you maybe even more. I mean,
Friday night was tough.
Yeah.
And Friday night, man, we went out after the game, and then, crap, we were back at the hotel, I want to say, at like midnight or something.
It was close to midnight. It was like maybe 12:30 around then, and probably by the time everybody like dispersed to their rooms, it was probably like 1 o'clock. That's the earliest we've ever called it a night. I mean, everybody called it a night because we've been, it was just such a hardcore day of boozing.
That's a marathon.
And all the weed that was given to us. So you're just killing each other like with all these substances that are going through you and all that kind of stuff. But on Saturday, at some point, myself and Casey, one of the guys on the team, he's like, hey, does anyone want to go with me? I want to get Taco Bell. It's like we just finished the game and he was hungry. He's like, before I want to go party. And we just won our final game, which was exciting. Like, we won the game, and we're like, let's rage. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I want to go to
keep in mind, I'm MIA at this point.
Yeah, we've lost Ted.
Oh, God.
You're the coach.
I've made friends with, like, this team that plays there all the time in Spokane. And
the Grinders.
The Grinders.
Yep.
So I've buddied up with the Grinders, and the one guy's like, you've never seen our locker room? I'm like, no. You go in there, it's like a 1970s, like, awesome party.
They have a permanent locker room. Like, they pay yearly.
Wow.
Like, they're like the old, like, the super team in that town. Like, they're the team that, like, everyone wants to play on, like, in the world of rock hockey. Like, they're former pros, and
it's carpeted. They have, like, their own doctors in there. I'm telling you, dude.
Wow.
I kept saying this, like, they were classy drinkers. So every once in a while, somebody would just tap you with a flask, like, here you go. Like, oh, thanks. Let's keep it classy.
No tiny bottles this time.
Right. Not like us.
Pinky up.
Oh, yeah.
There was one point while we're getting ready in the locker room, and I look over and I see Zach, one of the guys on our team. He's got a giant bottle of this Jolly Rancher infused vodka that I made, and he's just pouring the entire bottle into a water bottle.
Mm. Uh-oh.
That's going to be his water for the game. Like, that's how classy the donkeys are.
Nice.
Yeah.
So while you were gone, I'll get back to the fast food story in a second. But while you were gone, you know, we were getting ready for our game, and we're like, we don't have our coach. So I'm texting Ted. I'm like, coach, we need inspirational words. Like, come up here and say some good things to us. Not hearing anything from Ted. I'm like, oh, we've lost Ted at this point. So Dwayne, who eventually there's going to be a video, which I'm very terrified about because
I'm scared.
Because I don't even remember him. Like, there are times where I'm just wasting. I remember he's just filming. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to. But I haven't told him not to do anything. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what he's going to make with this. And he took a bunch of pictures. So once all that stuff gets made, we'll be sure to share it. But, like, he was our videographer and our photographer. So we're all like, we need inspirational words. This is our final game. We're like, Dwayne, give us some inspirational words. He's so bombed. He starts talking and rambling. Everyone else just starts talking and nobody's paying attention because I'm like, I'll film this. In fact, I think I have the audio if you go to Donk Dwayne.
Uh-oh.
So while he's trying to give us inspirational words, you'll hear there's just complete chaos in our locker room.
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Okay.
Grab your f***ing pussy.
I appreciate your honesty, Dwayne.
Figure bring your self to victory.
Is that straight vodka?
I don't know what else I can say.
Oh, it's like a water gun.
To be fair, not the coach.
Donkey Hockey, baby.
Holy camera guy.
Those are almost words.
I'm not an effing coach. I'm the camera guy.
I don't know what to say.
And you hear somebody go, hey, Zach, are you just putting pure vodka in there? That was when he's just dumping vodka.
Yeah, I walked into the locker room like 2 minutes after that, and everybody's like, coach, we need another speech. Dwayne didn't do too well.
Poor guy. He was on the spot. He's like, I don't know what to say. I'm drunk.
And nobody paying attention.
We go out there and play that final game. In the first two games, we got schooled. The first game, I think, 10-1. Second game, I think it was like 10-4.
Mm. Yeah, but the second game, you guys did all right. That only kind of got high numbers towards the end there.
Yeah, we ran out of steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the blues fully kicked in.
Some guys chose to run out of steam. There was a little...
Deliberate loss.
Yeah. Some people taking some falls.
Well, you know...
Sliding across the pond.
At halftime, it was tied. about the first 10 minutes into the second half, it's still tied. And there's a couple guys, you hear him grumbling like, ah, geez, boys, what are we doing? Are we actually going to win this one? I don't want to play tomorrow. And the people are like, I don't want to play at noon on
what?
Sunday.
Right. If we would have won game two, we'd have had to play around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. We wanted to be gone.
Right.
If we lost, this is how it works. And this is why we don't care about winning and losing. To make it, like, we always were a third game three is what we care about, because you win game one, you got to be up at 8 a.m. to play a game. Yeah, not doing
that's
that.
No bueno. Yeah.
No,
yeah, yeah.
We already, because you see your schedule. Like, if you win, you go to this bracket. If we lose, we play that. Was it 2:30?
Yeah.
So we're like, well, let's lose game two. If we win game two, we'd have to play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Oh, do that. What if we lose? If we lose, we play at 8:30 at night. Well, I could do that. That's not really. You'd say you're cutting into your drinking time, but we brought alcohol to the bench every time. I think we were the only team that was bringing a cooler to the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Munson just chugs a beer. No matter how much is in the beer, after he gets done a shift, every time, the entire game.
Just chug it.
Yeah, beer me.
Yeah.
And there's one just sitting there.
So after the... After
crumple
the,
throw.
After right. the second game.
We've left out the part during the middle of this day where we almost twice, I thought, were on the verge of getting thrown out of places.
Yeah, so after the game, the first game, we're like, let's get... before the first game, we go, let's get some lunch. We go to Chili's.
Yeah.
Because Ted was like jonesing for some Chili's, which was a great call.
I wanted to go to Chili's. So, you know, there's no Chili's in the Seattle area outside the airport.
Right. Yeah.
So we go to Chili's. I didn't really think about how big our party was, and we couldn't just hop in the bar.
Like 15 strong of us.
Yeah. So they gave us a giant table.
With a condescending jerk of a waiter.
Free baby backs?
I can understand why.
He just had his guard up, and it started right from the beginning. One guy goes, Coors Light's for everybody. And somebody's like, well, I don't want one. And he goes, okay. So 11 Coors Lights, 22 are the big ones. And a water, and a like Bloody Mary for this guy, and a water. Jay at the end of the table goes, "No, nah, man, 10. It's only 10. And the guy's like, "No, nah, it's 11. No, nah, man, it's only 10. So we just set the tone from right there.
Yeah.
And he counted it was 11.
Yeah,
of course.
He was condescending for a very good reason.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about him as much as like there was a family when we first got there.
And
like there was one point where like, you know, the room just goes quiet and you can tell they're listening, and somebody at our table goes, I think everybody's just listening to our conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Steve and somebody else just started kind of BSing like, it's all right, man. We're in Chili's in the middle of the day. And then the volume kind of slowly built back up. And it was like, all right, these people are comfortable now.
Yeah. First it was a little weird. I think at one point, even Munson was like, guys, shut the F up. There's kids behind us or something. Stop cursing.
Munson is the voice
of
reason.
Whoever said it that way. Like, boys, like, you know, be quiet. There's effing kids here.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Classy.
We eat food. We play our game. We lose. Then we go, well, we got plenty of time to kill. Of course, we're going to keep partying. But we decide finally, after 3 years of talking about this, we went and played laser tag.
Yes.
What? Nice.
And that laser tag now I get why people speak highly of the laser tag in Spokane.
Hey, sir.
It's multiple levels, and it is awesome.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Which one's better?
I'm a bigger fan of virtual sports.
I'm still going to take virtual sports.
But this one was good for what we wanted to do and the state of mind that we were in with all the lasers and all the fluorescents.
And all the weed.
Awesome. Yeah. Visually, it was great. I didn't feel like breaking a sweat, so myself, Ted at some point, and a few other people, like we kept rotating different people, we became snipers, and we just stayed up top and just started sniping people.
Nice.
So much so that I came in second place overall.
Congratulations.
In the first game.
Some headshots, huh?
Second game, I didn't do all that well, because while we were sniping, there was like this vigilante sniper who showed up wearing a Laser Quest t-shirt. So this guy was legit.
Like, oh, yeah, he's in leagues.
Right, and he was destroying us to the point where one of our guys says, I'm just going to hit him with the gun. I'm just going to hit him. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not going to hit him with
it's like Barney.
Right. Well, he wound up not losing. He lost to Munson because Munson just followed Casey around and just kept shooting him every time his thing reengaged.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So he beat Boomer. That was his nickname, Boomer.
Plus, there was a time I turned on him, too. I got kind of tired.
Yeah, you shot me.
Yes, I just started sniping our own guys.
It's horrible, Ted. But I understand.
It was fun, though.
Well, unlike Steve, the first game, they're like 15-minute games. I'm running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Yeah. I have no idea where the snipers are, and I am drenched in sweat. Some lady, I ran by, and they were like, that guy smells like alcohol. I could smell it on him.
Yeah.
I was like, yep.
I'm sweating it.
It's just oozing out of me right now. And then, right, so we play the first game. A couple guys go, hey, look, I'm not playing the second game. You play one price, you get two, right? It's like, all right. So the people that work at Laser Tag obviously have a prepared speech they have to do over and over.
Oh, oh no. Yeah.
So the second time
is I will not run.
Right. No. So the second time is this chick.
She's cute, too.
Oh, yeah. But she's probably 20. I'd say somewhere between like 19 and 21, yeah. Right?
Perfect. There's a party bus on the parking lot.
Right. What's up, girl? We got weed.
What's up, girl?
And you can tell some guys are getting to the point where they're having trouble keeping it together. So she's giving her a little speech where you need to be quiet. I'm not going to say names, but I could feel the energy of a couple people, and in their head it's just like, chick.
Yeah.
Attractive. You know, yeah. Like, they can't shut up.
And while this is going on, I'm stabbing Tack, one of our guys on our team, with the little thing that they give you, like that engages your gun, but it looks like a little knife. So I'm like shanking him.
Oh, jeez!
And he's shanking other people. This woman hates us all, especially Munson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll say his name. Yeah. Yeah. And at one point, just goes, seriously, be quiet.
Right. Wow.
I'm slowly moving away from the group.
Right. It's getting awkward now. Like, at first she thought it was funny because, like, he kept, like, yelling her name. And then after a while, like, then she's like, hey, if there's any problems out there, all you got to do is yell Marshall, Marshall, Marshall.
Yeah.
So
here it goes.
Randomly, Munson's going, Marshall, Marshall, Marshall. To the point where she finally stopped it all down and looks at him and goes, are you drunk?
No.
Yeah.
And there's families in there, man.
Yeah, did he get to stay around?
Oh, yeah.
He was fine.
Well, he came in second in that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the funniest part is after that comedy scene, he comes in first. I'm sorry. He was the highest scorer of the day.
Damn.
Yeah. All because he, you know, just shot Jason over and over and over. But it's still, hey, a win's a win.
That's right.
Right. So after we do the laser tag, we've decided we want to spend some time in the beer garden, right? The beer garden's also at this tournament is awesome. Like they have like Miller Lite and Molson.
Yep.
And then it's just a bunch of friendly hockey dudes and Canadians who are just out there just power chugging beers.
Yeah.
And it's like people get wasted in this beer garden.
All day.
Right. And nobody seems to mind. I saw a guy fall over once and the bouncer just got him a chair. Kick him out of the beer garden. He just got him a chair.
You need to really try to get kicked out of that beer garden.
So is the beer garden at the rink?
It's outside the parking
outside
lot.
Okay. So there's just a bunch of drunk people
but
under 40 a canopy.
Kegs are 40 or more kegs are lined up inside the rink.
Holy cow.
Yeah. To keep them cold?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what, you're bouncing the puck off the the kegs and stuff? Like, are they inside? Like,
oh, no, they're not on the ice.
Oh,
they're cooler. But they're in the same area where the ice is, so there's a chilly temperature.
Gotcha.
Although it wasn't cold enough for Munson to walk around in the rink in shorts and a bro tank and drunkenly walked onto the bench of a team that was in the middle of a game and just started coaching them.
That's right. He was doing that, I think, when I left.
I should find the picture.
Oh, my Lord.
Just to see,
it's
show
tough,
you guys.
Too, because, like, there's these periods where it's really intense drinking during the day, and then, like, they'll go play hockey. And, like, for, like, that hour, it's, like, in my head, I'm always like, keep it together, Ted.
Yeah.
Like, don't just go power chugging beers because you're on your own now.
See, I'd be like,
they look like the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, they showing me hockey a picture, source. They got the Oilers colors.
Oh, awesome.
Do you see the guy in the background?
Yeah.
That's Munson.
That's Munson. Nice.
He is not in uniform.
No.
Dude, when we walked out after that last game, like, Steve's got his equipment, and I'm, like, behind him walking out. So, like, they have their bags and stuff, which kind of bump into stuff. So, if they kind of tilt a little bit, it's all right. I'm behind them, not holding a single thing, just, like, walk straight. Yeah. Because I know I got that wiggle of, like, I've been drinking most of the day.
Got the Jimmy leg.
Got to give props to our buddy that listens to all of our podcasts, El Jefe. You guys have met El Jefe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He drove to Spokane to come see us.
Holy cow, that is hardcore.
He had buddies to see as well, but he was there for a couple games, so thanks for coming out. He almost convinced Nelly to come out, too.
Wow. Look at that.
That was like, what the hell is going on? There's El Jefe.
That's cool.
Hefe was there. Our buddy Heavy, we always see.
Heavy, yep. There's a few other guys. Brandon, his team actually went to the finals. He was on the Cutthroats and a big fan of our show and your show. And he was pretty stoked to meet us out there as well. But that Hockey Source team, the one that Munson just ended up coaching, they won the whole tournament.
Wow.
Great coaching.
I tweeted at them, like, hey, yeah, that 4-1 win is all because of our drunken teammate that was on your bench. And a couple of the guys like, yeah, that definitely wouldn't have had it any other way. But I guess in the locker room after their game, one of the guys on their team is actually a donkey. This guy, one of our guys, Ogle, but he plays with them because he's known them forever. And so during the classic, he's not allowed on the bus. He's banned. Then again, I don't think he even wanted to be on the bus because he was trying to win. But I guess in the locker room, they're all like, dude, who was that guy that was on our bench? And according to Ogle, he's like, a couple guys found the humor in it. Most didn't.
Yeah.
Because they were taking this serious.
Yeah. Right.
They can't, like we've said before, there's like maybe six teams that come to win.
Is there anything on the line for the winning the tournament
trophy,
or anything?
Bragging rights.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Trophy's a big thing, man.
It's a nice big trophy.
I get it, yeah.
Which night was it that?
And it's not like the people that want to win aren't drinking.
They just wait.
They just wait and kind of are a little more responsible about it and stuff.
Right. You know what I mean? Show up and Munson was so drunk he couldn't get his gear on, but he was hell-bent on that final game to get his gear on because he promised his girlfriend that he was going to play all three games, at least a shift in every game.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
A shift? What is that, like 5 minutes?
Well, and last year, the same thing happened to him.
It's like 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
He got his gear on, but then he just sat in the locker room with me drinking Fireball. And we recruited another kid and sent him out to play.
Now, mind you, in that last game, so we wound up winning that game 10-4, I think. In that game, Munson didn't make it out until like maybe 10 minutes into the game, and I see him just stumbling down the stairs because our locker room was on the second level and he had to go down a flight of stairs, which is just an awful move on the rink's part during this tournament to have locker rooms that high up. And he comes out and just skates and then finally just says, F this, goes back on the bench. But then at some point he tells, I think, J-Mac on our team, he's like, I'm just going to go out there for a shift. And he's like, nah, don't do it, man. You're going to get hurt. He's like, let me just go out there. I just want to go skate by Steve, tap his pad, and then get back on the bench. And I kid you not. All of a sudden, I'm like, why is Munson coming at me? He skates to me, bangs my pad. He goes like, F yeah, good job. And then goes right back to the bench.
There's the shift.
And yeah. That was his game?
That was his game. Then he gets off. Then we finish the game, and we're like, we are victorious. Now it's like, let's rage. Like, won a game. The one game we wanted to win, we won. So Munson decided to give us all a congratulatory speech. We have the audio of it, so you guys can hear what Munson sounded like during the speech. Now he's banging his skate on tiles. And now he kicks over our cooler. And then eventually fell down.
So his speech was, it came from the heart, nice win?
I think.
Hey, he threw a boys in there.
Oh, yeah, that's where boys came from the heart.
The point where he's standing by the shower and just banging his feet on the tiles, man. He was great. I couldn't, I mean, I had a smile on my face the entire day just watching Munson because he's just, like all of us, there's no concern of having to figure out where you're going, how to get there. We've got Rich, Levi, Dwayne, all of them looking after us. Like, I mean, well, maybe not Dwayne. Dwayne was partying with us, but Rich especially. Rich made sure that all of us were accounted for. Levi was doing head counts all the time. So nobody was ever lost, which was great.
Yeah.
The other problem is, and I'm sure Steve mentioned it earlier, when you're in the bus, like the windows are kind of tinted, you just lose track of time. Especially so after this last game.
Oh, this is great.
It's nighttime. You know what I mean? So, like, I walked out and got on the bus with Steve. I remember that. And then I was kind of sitting there for a while, and it was like, Steve and somebody are going to get fast food. Can we pull the bus around to pick them up at the beer garden?
That's right.
Right.
It was me and Casey that went to get food. I got to remember to tell that story.
Yeah, so I was like, go ahead. Because I was like, at this point, I'm locked into the back of the bus for the night.
Yeah. And so Casey and I, he's like, I want to get some Taco Bell. I'm like, I'll go with you. I don't care. I got nothing to do. So we're walking. I call my wife to say, hey, good night. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, walking to Taco Bell. She's like, you getting something? I'm like, no, I'm too wasted to eat. And she's like,
what'd you get?
Okay, good. No,
she's like, all right, that's fine.
And so we walk. We get to the Taco Bell, and it's locked because it's like 11 at night.
Oh.
And so we're like, son of a bitch. So we're like, well, let's try and get some, maybe we could get it through, like, the drive-thru.
Yeah, perfect.
In a bus.
No, walking.
He's trying to the foot bus, traffic this
we're
one.
Like a, I didn't realize how far the Taco Bell was when we agreed to do this. It's like a mile away we walked.
Oh, man.
So now we're at maybe less than that, but still long enough. And so we walk through the drive-thru, and of course it doesn't pick up the sensor because we're not in a vehicle, so nobody's responding to us. We're like, hello? We'd like some chalupas or something? It's like, all right, F this. Let's go to Arby's, because there's an Arby's right next door. I'm like, yes, I want a Jamocha shake. This is going to be awesome. We go up to there. nobody's answering. The doors are locked. We're like, son of a bitch. So now we try and do the drive-through again. Nothing. Now a woman who's driving, I don't know why at this late at night, but she's got like her six-year-old girl and like a 10-year-old boy in the back. She's like waiting behind us as we're yelling at the box. and we're like, oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. And I go,
sorry.
So I go, I'll buy all of your food if you order some food for us. And she laughs and then just goes, no. So now she pulls up. We're now staring at her through her passenger side window like, come on, please. Terrifying this business.
Just say Jesus, man.
There was a moment of clarity where I'm like, Casey, we can't do this, man.
Yeah.
So now we walk to Jack in the Box. We try again with the drive through. We're like, this ain't working. He goes, F it. Let's just go to the window. I'm like, all right. We get to the window and we're like looking in, just staring in like these two weirdos. The person who handles the window stuff looks at us and opens the thing and goes, we're still open, guys. You are? He's like, yeah, the doors are unlocked.
Done. Let's do this.
We walk in. He orders all the food he wants. I get myself an Oreo shake and a vanilla shake. I'm like, Ted's going to want a shake. I know he's going to want a shake. Now I'm walking in freezing cold with two freezing cold shakes. Because it's cold at night in Spokane. We get to the bus. Ted has a sip. I have a sip. I'm like, I can't drink this. And he goes, I can't drink this either. And freaking toss it. It was like all that for nothing.
Wow.
But then the party happens, which it's like, what, midnight at this point?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I lost track.
Yeah.
So
those tinted windows.
I think, did we go back to the hotel first?
No, we hit Fast Eddie's.
Fast Eddie's,
and posted up across the street from Fast Eddie's. Now we have a giant bus. We're outside the bars. And we're just there. And
now, Fast Eddie's is the bar that you, the first time you guys stuck stickers all around.
I think that was Ugly Betty's.
Okay.
I think Fast Eddie's we're still okay with.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, we've gone to Fast Eddie's every year.
Yeah.
And that's where, like that guy Daniel I always run into, like, there's a group of people. It's always like, all right, we're going to Fast Eddie's.
I never step foot out of the bus. Let's just keep that in mind for the entire night.
Right.
So we get to Fast Eddie's, and all of a sudden, like, I'm in the back. There's a DJ booth in the bus, and I'm like, I'm just going to play some music, playing music off of my phone. We made this giant playlist of, like, EDM and hip-hop. So a few, like three or four of us are hanging on the bus. I think Ted was there for a bit, but then did you go in the bar?
I went in for a minute.
Okay.
Because I think, right, like other people had met up with us. So I was like, I'm going to pop in and say what's up.
Right. And next thing I know, people are just now coming on our bus.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. Because apparently it's like closing time. Mm-hmm. Like that's how time, I've lost all concept of time. Now a couple people come on. I'm like, who are these people? But I'm like, hey, what's up? A couple hockey guys from the other teams. Like, what's up, man? We wanted to check out the bus.
And I don't know that I ever made it into the bar. I, like, got off and ran into a couple other people I knew, and then it was like, get on the bus, man. Let's do this.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, was, like, now that we had Levi and Grace with us on, like, Saturday night, was we had at least one girl.
And so on, like, Friday night. Yeah, on Saturday night
Friday night, they weren't with us. So Saturday night, because she was with us, it allowed us to not look as scary. Because it's like,
dark there's, bus.
There's one female on there. It's got to be okay. So now, like, Q Ray's girl brought her daughter, who was, like, 30. And,
right.
So, like, now we've gotten a couple women, so, like, other women don't feel as scared, like, hopping on.
We had, like, a whole group of married women come on the bus, which now, I'm just remembering now, because get on the bus, and then a few of us are like, what's going on here? Like they were, like, the first big group, and it was, like, six women that just walk on our bus. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, $5 cover charge.
We're like, dude, people are going to come on the bus. And one of the guys is like, I don't want dudes that we don't know coming on this bus. That'd be weird. So we tell the people, the driver and a few other guys, no dudes allowed unless we know them. Like, if it's a hockey guy that we know, they're totally fine. But no random people. We don't want fights. We don't want anything. Well, it turns out, like, all their husbands, of course, wanted to come on the bus
of
as well.
Of course.
And we're told no.
Oh, my God.
I forgot that part.
I don't think you were with us.
You just have a bus full of married chicks and all their husbands, pounding on the windows, like, get my wife out of there.
But the wives never came off the bus. They were just, like, they weren't even talking to us. They were just with themselves.
Right.
Like, they were like, oh, we could drink more. Like, it wasn't even like we were even talking. And, like, they were all older women. So, like, all their guys are, like, fuming because they can't come on and get their women. But we're like, hey, man, if you got to go, take your women with you, but you guys can't hang out, too. Like, we don't know you guys. Like, sorry. Like, we are okay with women on our bus because they're probably not going to want to try and start fights with us.
Right.
Fast forward to, like, I don't know, it's like 2:30 in the morning, and now the bus is completely packed. It's a full-on rave happening in our bus. Like, it's just insane. Like, music's going crazy. People are dancing. I don't know where we were at this point. We might have been at the hotel, But there was a period of time for a good 2 hours that I thought we were just driving, like just because the bus was bouncing so much. So I'm like, I got to pee really bad. But I'm like, I don't want to tell everybody to pull over because there's a party and it's hopping and I'm playing the music. And I feel like I'm not even DJing. I have my phone on shuffle, but I have headphones on that look like DJ headphones. And I'm just like, pretend like scratching.
You don't understand. Steve is crushing it. Like people are like, DJ Steve. Like at one point I'm shirtless just with a big light up chain. And I go, Steve, I'm going to Rick Ross it.
Oh my God.
Ted goes, should I take my shirt off and be Rick Ross? I go, yes.
Right. So, Steve, I got it. Right. So, Steve, I didn't know that he thinks that he can't pee or whatever. Like, I've run off the bus, I think, a couple times.
I had no idea.
And then Steve comes on and says, like, where are we? And somebody just looks at him and goes, dude, we've been parked at the hotel for 2 hours.
I've had to pee for 2 hours, so I just run off the bus and take a leak and get back on and DJ Steve.
At least
back
you're not at Fast Eddie's still. That'd be even more funny.
The thing was, right, we drove home, and then I think maybe like a couple of those people had just followed us back.
They must have. Or they were in the car, or they were in the bus with us.
Yeah.
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
I just remember finally it was like 4 a.m.
When we finally called it
a night. And I came back from peeing, yeah, and Levi goes, hey, man, like it's 4. We might have to shut it down. I remember being like, you know what? You're right. It's 4. So then he's like, do you mind telling him? And I was like, no, I got it. And, man, I told him. And the look you guys gave me was like, I just shot your dog right in front of you. It's like, what?
Why are you killing the party?
It's like, well, it is 4. DJ Steve doesn't miss a beat. He's like, me and Ted have adjoining rooms. Let's go.
So now we go to our room.
Oh, no.
Where Q-Ray has given me a lava lamp and a disco light. So, of course, I turn off all the lights. Now there's, like, lights going. Mind you, it's like, what, like 15 of us walking past security.
Yeah.
Within 30 seconds, the door is being knocked on. You guys need to turn it down.
Oh, yeah.
The music's blasting.
That took no time.
No. Then we had 2 encounters with security that night. Because then at some point, Dwayne passed out on my couch, and we were finally about to shut it down. I'm like, dude, can somebody get him back into his room? So we throw him on my office chair that's in the hotel room, and Ted wheels him out.
Nice. Yeah, I wheeled him out, and as I went through the main part of the lobby, you know, like the guy that was really hyped up to be like security guy, where are you guys going? Nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Where are you taking that body? And I just lean over, right? Nobody knows really what to say, and I just go, I just kind of tap his chest and go, it's okay. He had a rough one. Just taking him back to his room. And he just kind of stares at me,
nice,
and I just walk away with the guy in the chair.
Where are you taking this body?
Yeah. Dude, I mean, he was motionless. It was hilarious.
You know what the worst thing is? He's motionless the entire time. I wheel him into the room, and then he like goes, oh, man, where am I? What's going on? I said, well, you're back in your room. And he just stands up, like, thanks me, and lays down. Mother, why did I just have to wheel you through that lobby?
Couldn't you just do that 3 minutes ago?
It was like a half-hour process just to get him.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
And then I went right. And then eventually, that was right about, it wasn't much longer until we shut it down.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Steve was like, man, I got to go to sleep or just listen to some music. So then I'm in the adjoining room. So then me and Levi and his girl were still awake. So I was like, well, we can hang out in here for a little bit. And then there was that awful moment where we were all sitting there talking. And I was like, yeah, and I like open the blinds, and it's like, oh God, it is daylight.
Yeah. Like real daylight.
Like real daylight.
Yeah. Like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
They leave my room. Like, I should go to bed. And so what do? I put on the playlist of techno music that we created as a way to go to sleep. Like, that's going to help. So now I'm lying
just
in bed.
Party
just
to that staring the whole
at,
time.
Yeah, just bobbing my head, staring at the lights. And the next day they're like, it sounded like you were still getting after it when we left you. I'm like, I don't know what I was doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying. I was like, dude, I think Steve's still going hard over there.
Yeah, yeah. It was, dude, it
That's
was
amazing.
Well, one more story that I remember offhand. And like I said, there'll be other stories probably popping in our head, and we'll share them on our other podcasts. But Friday night, we all decided to go get dinner. And this was a story that kept being brought up throughout the entire weekend, like just to kind of illustrate how messed up Ted and I were. We go to the Red Lion, which was a place that we went to the year before. And the year before, we were so wasted we couldn't eat our food that I took one bite of my chicken wings, and then I was like, I can't do this. Well, this time I'm like, I think we could do this. Ted orders, what did you order? Some kind of chicken.
It was like, yeah, like
a blackened chicken.
Like blackened chicken pieces, right?
Chicken chunks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like,
blackened chicken, right? This should be easy.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like that?
And then I ordered the nachos, right? So now everyone's getting their food.
And we talked about this.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, Steve, get nachos, man.
Yeah.
We both like nachos.
I was like, chicken wings or nachos? I'm like, nachos. Nachos are easier to eat. People could eat some. It'll be great. His chicken shows up. He takes a bite out of it. I take a bite out of it. First bite, I'm like, this is delicious. And then he goes, I can't keep chewing this.
It seemed like it took me 10 minutes to chew one piece of chicken. So it's just like, there's chicken all over my teeth.
I try eating the rest of mine. I'm like, this is too much. As soon as I say that, my plate of nachos, which is about the size of like, I mean, like imagine like super-sized nachos just get dropped in front of me. And I look at it, and I just look at everybody else. I go, who wants nachos? Don't even eat a single one. The waiter,
not only
people,
that, we tab out. I get a pitcher of Miller Lite, and Steve might have ordered a pitcher, too.
Yeah.
We maybe had a beer out of the pitcher. Oh, so we just start, Steve just starts passing off the nachos, and I go, yeah, and we need our tabs, too. And she's like, you guys just got here. I was like, yeah, we need our tabs.
Yep.
I don't remember what it was. We pay it. We run out to go hop back on the bus to drink more. It's more weed. And I think somebody, like Rich, was like, dude, are those guys okay? Like, they didn't even eat. And somebody goes, ah, don't worry about it. They just prefer to drink free beers on the bus.
We're going to pay for these beers.
We went straight past the DJ booth and just started blaring music like, turn on the lasers, let's go.
There was at one point right before we left, I think when the plate came, and I just go, I'm too high to eat this. Rich looks at me like I'm insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and well, the party continued then on the bus. It was unbelievable, man.
Yeah, great weekend. And that bus was huge.
The bus was tremendous. If you ever need a party bus, definitely reach out to Lion Pride, LYONmusic.com.
Yeah, and
Levi is great. Everybody that he works with is awesome.
Do they do, with the bus, do they like make it like a party bus where the seating is all around the perimeter?
Yep.
And there's nothing in the middle.
Nothing in the middle, just walking room.
Everyone's sitting kind of sideways and looking at each other.
It's like a regular, it's like a mini party bus, but it's now just been. And
he's got three of them. There's like
15-person, 20-person, and this is a 35-person.
Nice. Yeah.
Which still, with like the 16 of us or however many there were, we still found a way to cram it up. Because everyone's like, some people are sleeping in the front.
Heck yeah.
The back was like the fun area where all the DJ booth was, and it was just, it was unbelievable, dude. The party bus was phenomenal. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the way they just did the back, I mean, because you physically got to, like, climb in and out of the DJ booth. It just, I don't know, it just, it's awesome. It's like you're in a separate world back there.
There was a moment on Saturday night when we were having that rave, and Ted just looks at me and goes, this is the greatest day of my entire life. And I go, it is mine as well. Like, it was just, because it was like, you look out, and that's why it was nice with this type of party bus to have the perimeter be seating. The entire bus is packed with people that are just, have you seen the video?
No.
Oh, here, Nick, I'm going to show you.
People are just having fun, like, dancing, losing it. And I mean, like, the best part is, like, if you want a breath of air, like, you just walk off the front of the bus, and it's like, oh, yeah, like, we're just, right, this is just a bus. But you kept forgetting.
So here's the video, and it's on my Twitter page, at STP999, for anyone who wants to check it out. But this is what it was like, I think when it's 2:21 a.m. when this video was taken.
Jeez. Nice.
That looks just like a club.
Yeah, it looks just like a club, yeah.
That music is provided by DJ Steve. At one point, you'll see in the video, it shoots down to somebody that's Munson, who's asleep while this rave is going on.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's like a freak night or something on a bus.
Dude, that's exactly. I mean, I'm telling you, we could have been in any club, like in any major city. Like, nope, we're the back of a bus in Spokane.
Levi came running back while this was going on. He goes, you realize we're having the ultimate after party? It's like a club in here outside of our hotel. And I'm like, I know. We just start hugging. We're like, this is amazing. Like, what a party, man.
Yeah, that part of it. I mean, the whole trip was fun, but that part was unbelievable.
And it was so fun that Munson was out cold and missed.
Yeah, I kept forgetting.
He missed
about
the entire day. At one point, there was a group of people dancing in front of me because I was at the DJ booth, and I'm like, I'm DJ Steve. And Munson's lying on the bench seating and just falls on the people.
Oh, geez.
And they didn't even know he was there. Because, he's just
dark in there.
Yeah.
Poor Munson.
Oh, man, I was bummed. He had fun. Don't poor Munson him.
Well, that was the only two.
He had a blast as well. He just missed out on the rave.
They have a mixer board back there. So Steve has the headphones, like the DJs always wear, and they just have the one side off. Like the EDM guys, right?
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, they just throw out their hand. So, I mean, granted, it's just a playlist, but nobody really knows. And right. It just appears that Steve is killing it. Just like, this is the greatest set ever.
And the mixing board that they have with like little wiki stuff on it has a giant case over it, so it's not even visible. But anyone who's on the other end doesn't know that. So my hands are just sitting on it, and I'm just kind of moving my hands from time to time. And when I feel like the beat's about to drop, I put my hand up, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was great. I already am excited for next year because rumor has it they're working on trying to get a double-decker bus.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say a bigger bus.
Yeah, and if that happens, forget about it.
Next it'll be a motorhome and then a double motorhome.
Then it'll be a plane. Levi needs to get his pilot's license.
Well, after and then on the ride home, right? Everybody's pretty much sleeping. Not I. Crushing beers, right? So we get back. Levi's going and he's like, yeah, we're going to take the bus over to this other party. You could shower up at my house and then come meet us out. Like, great. I shower up at his house. I swear to God, I walk into his living room. There's a couch. And then I wake up and it's like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, so you didn't even make it to
I
that party.
Everything.
It was like Church of Hate. It was a show that he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Like Easter Sunday. Yeah. Church of Hate.
I missed everything.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Nice. It was a great experience, Ted. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had the time of my life. Nick, I know you got to get going, huh?
Yes.
All right. So since you got to get going, Ted, if you have a few minutes, do you want to take part in Facebook drama with us?
I hate to tell you, man. I got to go. I haven't been here for 2 days. I have no idea what we're doing on the men's room.
Then you leave. Nick, can you stay around for 30 more seconds?
Yep.
All right, Ted.
All right. Thanks, boys.
See you tomorrow night. We'll do the megacast.
All right. This push-up's going to hurt. I'm sore.
At one point, Ted goes to me. It's like, what, like 3 in the morning on Saturday night? And goes, Steve, I got to talk to you. No, it must have been like midnight because we still haven't full on raved yet. And I'm like, sure. He's like, let's go outside the bus. And I'm like, okay. And he looks at me and goes, let's get 10 push-ups. As we're about to do it, Levi sees us. He's like, we're doing push-ups? And we're like, yeah, I'm in. So now we're just crushing push-ups outside on the pavement.
Thank God they didn't have any free weights.
Yeah, it would have been like painting the grass
exactly.
All over again. Thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Facebook drama, then we'll maybe do some emails. I don't know. We might have to get out of here.
Days of the past, there has always been one thing to join all the bitches together in their drama. And that thing has always been the Facebook. And now, muchachos, señoritas, Le Steve, Taylor's producer, shall bring us the best of the drama from the Facebooks.
All right, I just got to fix something. It said Tanny, and it's Tanya. Oh. All right, Facebook drama. It's our opportunity to illustrate how stupid people can get on Facebook. And we're hoping that by doing this, A, we all get a great laugh, and B, maybe people will think twice before they put something so stupid up on their Facebook page. This one's pretty funny. This one involves a woman who just decides to throw out one of those vague type posts about somebody but doesn't really name them, and that person never chimes in. So this is just amongst her and her friends. Apparently that person must not be a Facebook friend with her. So I will play the role of Emily. Rev, you'll be Susie. Top Shelf, you'll be Tanya.
Yes.
And Mono Nick, you'll be Matt.
Mm.
All right, here we go. Oh, I'm not sorry. I told you I was going to f*** you up the next time I seen you, stupid bitch.
What's up, girl?
Let's just say this. She now knows that f***ing hooker, she lost my phone. I told her to never let me see her again. Moral of the story? I seen her, and she got her ass beat.
Did you get a new phone first? LOL.
No. I had to spend my hard-working money to buy a new phone because that bitch wasn't good enough at to earn $120.
Oh, girl, I hear you in my head saying that. LOL. It's good to know that you're still doing your thing and staying beautiful at the same time.
Damn, I just got dumber reading all you dumb bitches talking tough.
Defriended and blocked.
Oh, sh**. Emily's on a roll. Queen mother f- B.
You know it.
Oh, hell no.
Wow.
All right, why don't we do a couple voicemails, some emails, some text messages, and then we'll bounce out of here. Mono Nick, good luck at the dentist.
Thanks. Let's hopefully they'll do something this time.
Go check out my teenage girlfriend. We listen to the STP cast. Hang a 10 and leaving a voicemail. I just sent a text.
G. Wilkers.
We share them all, then we tune to the internet. Wait a second, what the hell is the internet?
Picture and
take it to you.
Oh, that's so keen. God, jeepers.
Rev, Trev, I'm putting it in your hands.
Emails.
Emails it is. Oh, this is funny because I'm just looking at my phone and I got an email regarding our interview with Volbeat. Not from a listener, because that would be impossible because there's no way for them to hear it. This comes from Aaron, who works for the management company that Volbeat is on, which is the same management company, I think, that have the Black Keys, Metallica, a few other bands as well. So it's, you know, a very well-respected group of people. Aaron writes, and he didn't send this to me. I just got sent to it by our boss, Hair Club, and Castle, Jolene, and a few other people that, are, I guess, work for the label. We're all on this email, and it says, hearing the phoner Michael from Volbeat did with Steve is one of the funniest he's done since we started working with them.
Wow.
Thanks for making him feel so welcome.
Cool.
Well, it helps when he's that awesome, but I mean, yeah, cool.
Like, he's done a lot of interviews, man.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, I know that. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty awesome compliment.
That is awesome.
How about that?
Look at you, Steve.
We're making it happen, boys.
Yeah.
Next email is just from Mark, and he's asking about Pick My Pet. He says, Steve, congratulations. We never got to this last week, but, you know, we had our big STP Cast challenge where one of us was trying to be the pet of the week on Q13's Pet of the Week segment on Fox News this morning. Now, technically, I think the contest still continues because I don't know if Lulu was the actual pet of the week or just a featured pet on the show.
Yeah, I saw the picture, and it was up there for a Friday, but I don't know. Was it a thing?
I looked at the placements online, and she didn't get first, second, or third any week. So
no, I think MJ just liked the picture of Lulu. Yep. And this is when I put it in a day too early, so it wasn't like on that week where we were going to all do our thing.
Yeah.
And MJ McDermott decided to illustrate Lulu, and there's her big mouth with her tongue sticking out. It's on our Facebook page. If you go to STP-Cast, I'm sure if you search a little bit, you'll be able to find it. But here's the audio. It's high-quality audio because I recorded it off of my phone.
I think it's still a wagon tail day for your pet walk forecast with a high of 64 and partly sunny skies. Lulu just wants to take a nap. Lulu belongs to Steve, the producer at KISW in Seattle. Did not know that's who it was. I just saw Steve, but he told me that they've been talking about it a lot on the radio station. They've been blogging or podcasting about the pet walk forecast. So congratulations, Steve. You won straight up here with Lulu. Great shot. If you've got a great pet photo, go to our website, Q13Fox.com, and click on Pick My Pet on the screen at the top of the screen there. Here's Adam.
A podcast right now is exploding across the internet. Awesome, STP. All right, so here we go.
Nice, Gherky. I love it.
The Gherk.
The Gherkinator, who was just recently on Metal Shop. For those that don't know, he was one of the hosts of Metal Shop back in the day when he was a long hair.
A long hair.
Before he became one of those guys on the TV.
And one of the beautiful
I saluted
people.
Him with devil horns and pig's blood.
I like that.
No, goat's blood.
Huh. Goat's blood.
Somebody's blood.
Pig's blood is for hip-hop heads.
Not, that's right.
And for Carrie.
You need to kiss the goat in the Metal Shop.
Next email is just a subject, and this is from Adam. STP Cast Drumming. Dude, I just listened to the cast. Actually, I still am. And the War Pig song just ended. You were ripping it up on that tiny phone. Makes me want to bring an iPad in the studio for future performances so you can have more room for your fingers. Trust me, I wish I would have. My fingers hurt for like all night because I was banging.
You need to build up those calluses on your fingertips.
Right? He says, your wife must be so happy with the talent that those things have.
Oh, my God.
From Adam.
Nice job, Adam.
There you go.
The video's up. I posted it. It's on my Facebook page. It's on YouTube if you just search.
Crush it, man.
It's pretty fun. I'm way off at the beginning, but I'm trying my darndest to lock in with those guys. It was tough. But once we locked in, it was actually pretty funny. And minus like the fact that my fat fingers were hitting the wrong drums from time to time. It was pretty dead on. It was actually, it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
So watch the video. The video is very funny because you could just see me like hell bent on doing it right. My tongue, I'm biting on my tongue because I'm deep in concentration.
The eye of the tiger.
This one comes from Christian. He says, thanks. That's the subject.
Oh,
thanks. Long time listener. Rev, did you drop gas?
A little while ago.
All right. First time writer.
Me too, damn.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. It's a beefy one.
It was the eggs from yesterday.
Yep. Happy Easter.
He wants to pass along a cool moment that he had while listening to a throwback episode of the STP Cast. Anyone can make a throwback episode. Just go back to our whole page and just pick a random podcast, and you too can throw back the STP Cast.
That's right.
On the November 5th, 2013 episode, Blake wrote you guys explaining his situation and thanking you guys for pulling him through a rough time that he was having. Though my issues are not to the extent of Blake's, I've been going through a bit of a rough patch in my life, moving multiple times in the past couple of years, having a hard time making friends and meeting new girls. the major constant that I've had is the STP cast, and I look forward for every Tuesday night when no matter where I am in the country, I feel like I'm back at home in Seattle hanging out with some old buddies. I'm not sure you guys realize the lives you touched by just hanging out and BSing, so I thank you for that. Have a great day, and that's from Christian, TD4L and JPM4L.
That's awesome.
Beyond awesome.
The best part about listening to this podcast is you don't have to be in here smelling it.
It's getting thicker over here.
I agree. You know what?
Ugh.
That's bad, dude.
I'm actually sorry for this one.
Yeah. I don't think your doctor would be impressed.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
You know, we're way
past. Yes, you are.
Well, today. Right now.
Yeah,
because it's kind of gross. Then I might have to poop.
I don't even know if I can do this podcast anymore. It's really bad.
It's a thickie. Yeah.
Like, I'm having a hard time breathing. Like, when I breathe, that gas is coming into my mouth.
I'm definitely washing my shirt today.
Yeah, there's some particles in
there. You know what? We'll just table everything else for next week. I do want to thank Stevie. He actually went back and listened to the episode where we made our WrestleMania picks.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
How much did I win by?
You actually lost, Top Shelf.
Damn it.
The big winner, getting four right, was yours truly.
Oh.
Then the rest of you only got two right.
Yeah, I knew I did bad this year. I just knew it.
Out of what, about eight?
Out of eight picks that we made, you were 2-6. Toppy, Nick, and Rev, 2-6. Myself, 4-4.
Congratulations.
Brother, I'm the big winner this
Breaking
time.
Even.
Did the Miz win?
No,
he did not
Damn
win.
Damn it.
In that match that he was a part of, which match was he a part of?
I don't know.
The Battle Royal?
One of them.
That was Big Show that won.
The Big Show.
All right, let's get out of here. Big thanks to Michael Polson from Volbeat for joining us. That was pretty damn awesome. Thanks to the Ted Smith for joining us as well, recapping the classic. Listen to the podcast and the megacast to get more stories. And thanks to Munson for really being the heart and soul of our team. He was awesome entertainment.
Speech.
He's the man.
Speech.
I love that guy. Stay positive and suck it.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.